by John Ritchie over in Scotland. And they call it spiritual meditations and his comments on various portions of the Word of God. This copy is not for sale. It's the only one I have. But there are going to be available. Loazo Brothers is going to be handling it in this country and others in different parts of the English-speaking world. But I just mention it for your prayer and for your interest, if you are interested. Anyway, so much for that. We're going to read in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to read beginning with verse 8. 2 Timothy 1, verse 8. Paul is writing to his son in the faith, Timothy. He links his name with his own name in five of his epistles, and he addresses two more to Timothy. And he says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished or annulled the power of death, and hath brought life and immortality to light of the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." It's a shame, really, isn't it, that he needed even to say that to Timothy. But Timothy apparently was a sort of a timid fellow. He was a little backward about being forward. And Paul tried to encourage him as a believer. It's a shame that anyone should be ashamed of the Lord and of his testimony. One of our hymns, it says, "The cause was love. We sink with shame before our blessed Jesus' name." That he should bleed and suffer thus with such returns from us. "Jesus, we sing, and shall it ever be, a mortal man, ashamed of thee. Ashamed of thee, whom angels praise, whose glories shine through endless days." It's interesting, the first time you read shame mentioned in the New Testament is in Mark's Gospel, where it says, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" And then this verse. Verse 38. "Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him also I shall be ashamed." Be not ashamed. Paul says, "I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." He speaks of Onesiphorus while he was in prison. He says, "He was not ashamed of my chain." He wasn't ashamed to be associated with a preacher, a jailbird. These men were not ashamed of their witness. Be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. You remember that verse in Hebrews chapter 2? It says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken to us by the Lord?" The Lord testified of the gospel. For the word of God says the gospel is that Christ died for our sins, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day. And repeatedly, the Lord Jesus told his disciples that he was going to suffer many things of the chief priests and elders. They were going to kill him. He was going to be crucified. And the third day, he was going to rise again. That was the testimony of the Lord. And it was a testimony of the Apostle Paul. I am not ashamed, he said, of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth. And Paul, writing to the Philippians, said, you know, God has given us two gifts as believers. He's given it to you in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Interesting things that happened to you this past week. I went to the door and there was a UPS man at the door. We have a little plaque that was given to us by a brother out in Colorado. And it says this. This little plaque right by the mailbox. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The first thing Mr. Paul said to me, UPS man, are you a Christian? I said, yes. He said, I am too. It's a nice thing to hear somebody who speaks a word for the Lord. He didn't know exactly where I stood, although I guess he had a pretty good indication with that sign. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The gospel is certainly presented in this passage. The good news is that death has been defeated. Sin and death no more shall reign. He has annulled the power of death, and he's brought to light. It says, life and immortality through the gospel. 1900 years ago, they nailed the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross. They said, well, that's the end of him. That's what they thought. Somebody gave me a little recording a few years ago. It's a preacher speaking on his topic was, and he went over it and over it and over it and over it and over it. It's Friday! It's Friday! And he said what they did on Friday. With what contempt they treated the Lord. How they put the crown of thorns on his brow. Now they spit in his face. It's Friday. But he said, Sundays are coming. It's Friday. But Sundays are coming. The Jews require a sign. The Lord says there's no sign going to be given to you at all, except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days, 3 nights in that fish's belly, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. Destroy this temple, he says, and in 3 days I will raise it again. The Lord Jesus arose in the power of an endless life. The Bible says to bless all that come unto God through him. And the one message, because that's the only message there is, the one message that the apostles preached wherever they went was the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. With great power, we read in Acts chapter 4, they gave witness of the resurrection. Be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Don't be ashamed of what he bore witness to, nor of me, his prisoner. Don't be ashamed of what I bear witness to. But be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel of Christ, for it is given on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. You know, it's amazing the things that people will get interested in. I've seen signs like this in the last year or so in Florida, in more than a year. Save the manatee. Save the key deer. You go down to Key West now, when you go through Big Pine Key, 35 miles an hour. You know why? To save the key deer. I don't know how many they got down there, but that's what it's for. I'm not against saving deer. What I'm saying is these are the things that people get interested in. And they'll get in, shouted from the housetop, save the key deer! Save the key deer! Save the alligator. Save the panther. But at the same time, Every day, little babies are being aborted and killed. And people are not the least bit interested. They don't raise any clamor about the salvation of the soul. All of us have opportunities not to be ashamed of the gospel. And so often, we must confess, if we're honest, we're just ashamed to really stand up when it's counted and give a word for Christ. And the ultimate result is that we'll be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. If we bear a bold witness for the Lord, the world is not going to give you any big crowns for bearing witness for the Lord Jesus. I mentioned Key West a moment ago. We were there last Sunday. When I first went to Key West, I met an elderly man. His name was Ben Demerit, but everybody called him Ben Tink. I never knew a kinder man, and he just seemed such a godly fellow. But you know what he did? He got saved in the open air. He was an ungodly fellow. Had no use for God or the things of God, and he heard a man preach out in the open air. His name was Charles Older, and he got saved. And the very next day, he sought out his best friend, Copeland Johnson. He brought him to the Lord. Just like Andrew, having found Jesus, he went in search of Peter. And I don't think there's a corner in Key West that Ben Tink hadn't stood at. And just get out in the open air and he would preach the gospel. They'd probably put you in jail today if you did something like that. I don't know. What shall it profit a man? The Lord speaking to his disciples. If you gain all that this world has to offer, you got everything that the world has to offer. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever shall be ashamed of me, he said, of my words. Of course, his words, that's the gospel. That's what he preached. Which at the first began to be spoken to us by the Lord. And all of us, doesn't make any difference whether you're young or old, we have a moral obligation. And we have an obligation to the Lord when he has saved us to tell others a story. Tell our parents if they're not saved. Tell our brother, our sister. Tell our children. Well, it tells us how God saves us, doesn't it, in this passage. It says he saved us, he's called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Not one person will ever be in heaven because of anything that they've ever done before they were saved or after they were saved. It's all of God's grace. Not one person deserves to be there. No Christian has ever lived deserves God's salvation. It's all of grace. By grace are you saved. Through faith and that, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. No one is going to be able to say, well, Lord, you know what I did for you. I preached the word faithfully as a missionary in Central Africa for 60 years. That's all very interesting. But it has absolutely nothing whatever to do with our salvation. It's by grace are you saved. And there isn't one person that can explain how God in his grace reached you and he reached me with all of his grace. You're saved by his matchless grace. I think it was Isaac Watts who wrote, why was I made to hear his voice? And enter while there's room, while thousands, yes, millions, make a wretched choice and rather starve than come. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in sight. I don't keep the records of heaven. I don't know who's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I remember some years ago, James Dobson went up and he witnessed to Ted Bundy, that fellow who had gone across the country murdering women, raping and murdering women. Took him years to finally get him executed, and he should have been executed. But before he passed out of this life, So James Dobson says, he professed faith in Christ. I don't know whether he's saved or not. But I know this, that God's word says, whosoever believeth of the Son hath everlasting life. It has absolutely nothing whatever to do with our merits or demerits. He saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. All in Adam died. Everyone who is a descendant of Adam, we've all sinned. And the wages of sin is death. It doesn't make any difference how good a life you've lived. One sin will shut you out of God's presence. Whosoever breaks the law in one point, God's word says, is guilty of all. He's broken the law of God. And all that the law can do is condemn a guilty sinner. But God, before the law was ever given, before man ever came into existence, God had already devised the plan of salvation in his Son. It was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So how can he merit or demerit enter into the picture? It can't. Therefore, the sins that I've committed, if I've trusted Christ, God sees me in Christ. The Bible says that, and it's speaking of believers, that we were chosen in him, in Christ, before the world began. It says that we're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. God's plan of salvation was in place before man was ever created. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. You know, the Bible says the gospel was preached to Abraham. Did you know that? That's what it says in Galatians. The gospel was preached to Abraham. You say, where was he? He certainly wasn't here on earth when the Lord Jesus was here. God says, I'm the God of Abraham. He links his name. Says, he's one of mine. I'm the God of Isaac. He's one of mine. The God of Jacob. He's one of mine. Well, how were these men saved? The gospel was preached to Abraham. God said to Abraham, Abraham, it's the first time you read these words, believe, that Abraham believed God, took God at his word. Take a look at those stars up there in the sky. You see them? Yes. So shall thy seed be. And it says, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. Abraham didn't know he was believing in Jesus. Never heard of him. But he believed God. And in so doing, he was believing in Jesus because he's God manifest in flesh. In Galatians it says, God, when he made promise to Abraham, did not say seeds, when he preached the gospel to Abraham, he did not say seeds as of many, but seed as of one. And that seed is Christ. By faith, Abraham, the Lord Jesus said, rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it was glad. And the Bible says, all that are of faith, all that have put their confidence in the promised seed are children of Abraham. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Jesus, it means Jehovah is salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. Neither is there salvation in any other. Peter says, for there's none other name under heaven given among men. And there's only going to be one song in heaven. There are going to be millions of people from every tribe and tongue and nation, and many of them like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They didn't know about Jesus coming and dying on the cross. They didn't need to know that. The only one that needed to know that was God. All that they needed to do was take God's word for it. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. God said, when I see the blood, not when Abraham sees the blood, not when Isaac sees the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And Romans chapter 3 says that God now declares his righteousness for the passing over of sins that are past. He forgave Abraham's sins. He gave Isaac's sins. He forgave Jacob's sins. Why? God now declares his righteousness for the passing of over of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, his righteousness at this time, that he might be just and the justifier of everyone that believes in Jesus. In other words, God saved everybody in the Old Testament, if I can put it this way, on the credit plan. That's what I do. You know, I have a little card called a Visa card. And it's a wonderful little invention. I go into a store and I slip them that Visa card and they let me walk out with the good. I just give them a little card. Boy, this is nice. But I found out a long time ago there's a trick to it. At the end of the month, they sent me a bill for all those things I walked out with. The only reason they give it to me is because it's going to be paid down the line. The only reason that God could save all those sinners in the Old Testament that exercised faith in him was because Christ was going to come and he was going to pay the debt. We who trust Christ today, our sins are not forgiven on the credit plan, if I could put it that way. It's on the cash plan. Listen to these words of the prophet Isaiah. All we like sheep gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. All my sins. What a great meeting place that was. I didn't know about it. But God knows the end from the beginning. All my sins were laid on Jesus. Jesus bore them on a tree. God who knew them, lay them on him. And believing I go free. God now brings me to his dwelling, spreads for me his feast divine, bids me welcome, ever telling, what a portion there's mine. Blessed, glorious word forever, yea, forever is the word. Nothing can the ransom sever, nor divide them from the Lord. No angel could our place have taken, highest of the high though he, the loved one, on the cross forsaken, was one of the Godhead free. Now, I was not in Christ Jesus before the world began. But God decided before the world began that everyone was in Christ. Everyone in Christ would be forever saved. The Bible said we were chosen in him from before the foundation of the world. When Paul writes in the last chapter of Romans, he speaks of his relatives and he says this concerning them. He mentions them by name. He says, they were in Christ before me. That's true. There was a time when Paul was outside of Christ. But the moment he put his trust in Christ, God put him in Christ. And the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Christ left him. As far as God is concerned, he got rid of me at the cross. All my sin and myself, God got rid of him at the cross. In that place of self, Christ. And that's all that God sees now. He sees one accepted. Not in himself, but accepted in the beloved one. So near, so very near to God. I cannot near be, for in the person of his Son, I'm just as near as in Christ. Safe in Christ, we say. The weakest child stands in all God's favor. It was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. But we weren't in Christ before the world began. But God gave it. This blessing in Christ Jesus before the world began. Apart from any merit or any demerit. of ours. It all depended on his own purpose and grace, not on me and my sin and failure. Well, this wasn't known in the Old Testament, of course. Abraham didn't know anything about this. The gospel is called a mystery. It wasn't known in the Old Testament days. They didn't know what this was all about, but God knew. But he says it's now made manifest. We know about it now by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first, he was the first one to preach it, began to be spoken to us by the Lord. And his apostles, they taught it in accordance with his instructions to them. Go ye into all the world, he said, and preach the gospel to every creature. It's now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath annulled the power of death. For the believer, death's power has been annulled. For as far as God views it, our death is behind us. When Christ died, I died. That was the end of me before God. Though the enemy accuses, sins recounting like a flood, every charge our God refuses, Christ has answered with his blood. Jesus paid all. All him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. But blessed be his name. He washed it white as snow. It says through death, he destroyed him that had the power of death and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Death has been called the king of terrors or the terror of kings. But a Christian does not need to fear death. The Lord Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he have died, yet shall he live. He doesn't say, though he have died, yet shall he live again. He says, though he have died, yet shall he live. When a believer dies, it's just the place of his life is transferred. Absent from the body, beyond sin and sickness and sadness and sorrow and shame and suffering forever, and ushered into the presence of the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. And the apostle who had been caught up to the third heaven, he said to depart and to be with Christ is far better. Think of living in a world where there's no sin anymore. No more sadness. No more sorrow. That's the blessed hope that we have of one day being with and like our Lord Jesus. He's abolished death. He's annulled the power of death. And he's brought life and immortality, life to the gospel. The minute you trust Christ, you've got life. And you may not look any different from anybody else. But God's word says, he that hath the Son hath life. Life eternal. This is life eternal, the Lord Jesus, that they might know thee, the only true God. And he said, thou hast given him authority over all flesh. He's got the power to do it. You only have to apply to him. That he should give eternal life. Many as thou hast given them. He stands ready, if you've never received him by faith, to give you life. What a wonderful thing is to be able to say, yes, he's mine and I'm his. He's brought to light life and immortality through the gospel. The Old Testament, they didn't have these assurances that we have today. Thank God, the Lord Jesus said when he came into the world, I am the light of the world. In a world of darkness, distance, and degradation, he came to bring the light. Life. And immortality through the gospel. Life now, and immortality. One of these days when our Lord Jesus Christ comes, you're going to get a body that's no longer subject to death. This mortal, says the apostle, we've been studying that on Wednesday night. This mortal, this body now subject to death, must put on immortality. This corruptible, this body that soon goes to decay, you know, shall put on incorruption. Body no longer subject to decay. A body that will never wear out. You know, in this life, they count things by years, and they always never say, he's 3 years young. You ever heard anybody say he's 3 years young? He's always 3 years old or whatever. He's always old, old, old because of the recognition. that we're just getting older all the time, the longer we live. He's brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. One of the Greek philosophers said, it may be that the gods may be able to forgive sin, but I can't see how. But God in His Word says that He's absolutely just. He can't go against His justice. And the justifier, everyone that believeth in Jesus. Paul says, I'm not ashamed. Awful ashamed of himself, no doubt. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the message that I preach. It's God's power to salvation to everyone that believeth. For therein is a righteousness from God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. How God can justify a guilty sinner. That's what the gospel tells us. The perfect righteousness of God is witnessed in the Savior's blood. It is in the cross of Christ we trace His righteousness, yet wondrous grace. God could not pass the sinner by. His sin demands that he must die. But out of pity, Jesus said, I'll bear the punishment instead. The sin alights on Jesus' head. Because in His death, sin's debt is paid. Stern justice can demand no more, and mercy can dispense her store. The sinner who believes is free. Can say, the Savior died for me. Can point to His atoning blood and say, this made my peace with God. Ah, says Paul to Timothy. He says, be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Be prepared to suffer a little bit in this world for Christ's sake. He says, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believe, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Read Acts chapter 5, 41 concerning some of those early saints. They rejoiced because they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. I love this hymn written by Joseph Greg Jesus, and shall it ever be a mortal man ashamed of Thee. Ashamed of Thee whom angels praise, whose glories shine through endless days. Ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend, on whom my hopes of heaven depend. No, when I blush, be this my shame, that I no more revere His name. Ashamed of Jesus, yes, I may, when I've no guilt to wash away, no tear to wipe, no good to crave, no fears to quell, no soul to save. Till then, nor is my boasting vain. Till then I boast a Savior slain. And oh, may this my glory be, that Christ is not ashamed of me, is not ashamed to call us brother. Be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner. May God help us and our witness throughout the week and the days ahead as He gives us opportunity to speak a word in season concerning our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Perhaps we could sing that hymn. I think it's in our book. I didn't look it up. I had another hymn in mind, Ashamed of Jesus. Is it in the book? So perhaps someone could check. I'll check that. It isn't. We'll just won't. If it isn't in the book, obviously we won't sing it. Let's sing number 166 instead. This speaks of the great hope that we have in Christ, our Redeemer. 166. Thank you.